Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta, welcome in to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app. Mikhail sitting in for John Fricke this morning alongside Big Hugh Douglas. Bro, it is a pleasure to be with you. Happy Friday, my man. How you feeling?
Nick, what's going on, man? Happy Friday. Happy Friday, Atlanta. Hope everybody's doing well. We made it to the weekend. Now, we don't know exactly what does that mean, but we're here at the weekend, and hopefully you have a great weekend.
Amen to that. Show number six for me. I've been with Carl and Will and Chuckery and Tribble, so now I get to work with a guy that, for real, like 20 years ago, as a little punk kid in a suburb of Philadelphia, I'm sitting here watching the Eagles as, you know, the Andy Reid era gets underway and watching you do your thing. And then I end up going to Temple University and, you know, you guys, you come back, I believe it was in 04 for the Super Bowl year. And then after your career is over, you end up doing radio at one station in Philly at WIP, and I'm on another. So I kind of feel like this day has been, I don't know, in the making for 10, 12, 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair to say. You know, starting out in radio, had some great times in Philadelphia, man. I mean, you know how radio is in Philadelphia. It's very, very passionate. Not to say that it's not passionate down here, but, you know, different vibe, just a little different vibe. And, yeah, it was great cutting my teeth in Philadelphia.
All right, so we got Abe Gordon's here, Oren Romaine, Tanitra with you, the whole crew. You can be a part of the show, as always, at 404-741-0929. Also, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, if you want to weigh in that way. Of course, you can tweet us at BigHugh53 at Nick Kale. So, a couple of big things we got to get to right out of the gate here, Hugh. College football we'll get to in a moment. Some big scheduling changes in the landscape of college football, starting with the Big Ten and, you know, maybe the trickle-down effect to the SEC and the ACC as well. But Atlanta United is back tomorrow. Soccer returns in the city of Atlanta. Of course, you can hear the match on 92.9 The Game as the United take on the New York Red Bulls in Orlando. And I was thinking about this, Hugh, because Frank DeBoer spoke yesterday. As expected, he said everybody is healthy except for Joseph Martinez. But as a pro athlete, and not even soccer specifically, but when you haven't had a competitive match or a game in over 120 days, I know we always talk about rest versus rust, but like, what is the biggest challenge for these guys coming back after 4 months?
Let me figure out a way to say this where it won't sound so crazy, not to burn all your coal. And one, you know, you don't want to burn out too fast. You know what I mean? Like on that first play, you don't want to go all out and then be spent for the rest of the game. I think that's it, man. And, you know, you've probably been chomping at a bit for so long, you know, and things of that nature. And another thing, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you could potentially get hurt. That can happen too, you know, because your muscles are so used to working a certain way during the course of the year. You don't want to overexert yourself and you know, potentially put yourself in a situation where you get yourself hurt. So it's all of that. You just want to pace yourself a little bit, you know, and just ramp back up to where you were before you stopped playing. So, yeah, all of that. all of that, because you got to think, at this time of the year, we would have probably been way more than halfway through the season.
Right.
And you're talking about your body is accustomed to adjusting to certain times at certain times of the year, or adjusting to certain things at certain times of the year. Haven't had all that wear and tear on your body for a while. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing I would probably be concerned about.
Yeah, I was thinking about that from a conditioning standpoint, even from a communication standpoint, technique, all of that. Because, I mean, pro athletes, and you can speak to this better than anybody, you guys are creatures of habit. And when your flow and your rhythm gets disrupted and then you return after a long hiatus, and I think your analogy was spot on, you don't want to go from a full tank to on E too quickly, because, I mean, this is a marathon. This is a 90-minute match, and all of a sudden you could be 15 minutes in and sucking wind, and you're like, oh, my God, we got a long way to go.
Yeah, and you're looking at yourself like, damn, all that working out I did, it didn't pay off. It didn't do nothing for me. So, yeah, you want to pace yourself a little bit.
All right, so the audio remix will come up in just about 15 minutes here on The Morning Show. Nick Cale in for John Fricke, along with Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The other big story of the day yesterday that kind of, I don't think it was a complete surprise, but it definitely shook up the landscape of college football a bit, is the Big Ten coming out saying we will only play in 2020 a conference schedule, so we will not have non-conference games. And if you're a big college football fan and you relocated to Atlanta and you're down in the South, you're going to lose games, you know, like Michigan at Washington, Ohio State at Oregon week two, which would have been a massive matchup, Wisconsin, Notre Dame at Lambeau Field, Penn State and Virginia Tech. I'm not surprised that this happened, but one of the things that really kind of gets me a bit annoyed and a bit dejected is the fact that we could see a trickle-down effect, because that's usually the way it works in college athletics, where the SEC could follow suit, the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and if that happens, we lose a lot of really marquee games in the sport.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But you know the thing that I got from that, because after I got that text and we were talking about it, I sent it out to a few friends of mine. I looked at that and the one, especially where the Ohio State AD, Gene Smith, said something to the effect of, you know, he's concerned about the college football season. Man, that's a tough one. You know, you go from being cautiously optimistic to being concerned. You know, that kind of puts the red flag up for me. You know, and I know you're trying to adjust as much as you possibly can to try to get this college football season going. But when you go from cautiously optimistic to concerned, that's a little bit of a red flag. And then you talk about all the other schools that have shut down their workout programs and stuff to because of the virus and trying to, you know, just slow it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's a little concerning. Like, everybody's still optimistic about the season being started in college football, but after that tweet, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous about the season starting, and you know, as a individual that tries to adjust and adapt to every situation, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what could potentially happen. Not trying to put up any red flags for anybody, but what could potentially happen, or what are we going to do if we don't have college football?
Yeah, no, I hear you, man, because you think about it, the Big Ten starts this. If other conferences follow suit, then we're looking at a 9-game schedule, which is still better than no football at all, and I'll gladly take it. You lose some of the marquee crossover games from conference versus conference, but that really sucks, but you also lose the cupcake games, which nobody's going to miss when, you know, an Alabama's favored by 35 points against, you know, Slappy State. But I think the thing that's kind of worrisome, to your point, is, you know, we start off with, let's say, all the Power 5 conferences align and they say no non-conference games. But then we get to camp and we get to August. And God forbid there's another outbreak on a team or it runs rampant through a conference. Then all of a sudden the ball gets rolling for a complete shutdown. And dare I even say the possibility of moving the season to the spring?
Yeah. I mean, all of that, man, that's a possibility. And you're talking about throughout this whole pandemic, the one thing that we've been holding our lights up high and holding hope out for is a college football season and a pro season for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And man, if we're talking about, listen, like I said, I don't want to alarm anybody, but darn it, when I saw that tweet yesterday, I'm like, boy, if y'all fooling with my college football and if y'all fooling with my pro football, that's going to be one heck of an adjustment. That, like, for real. You talk about, you know, like they say, tighten up your bootstraps and all the other good stuff and get ready. Man, come on. That's going to be a tough one. That's going to be a tough row to hoe.
And think about this. If the SEC, which is the conference that, you know, we certainly care about down in the South, if they follow suit, we're losing games like Texas at LSU, which was phenomenal last year. We're losing Auburn at North Carolina, which could be really good this year with Bo Nix against Sam Howell. We're losing Tennessee, Oklahoma, USC, Bama, Florida, Florida State. And then some games that are even closer to us, possibly Georgia, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Clemson. I mean, this is going to really hit home for a lot of people, especially for games that we look forward to from a big-time showdown standpoint.
Yeah, and you talk about that Georgia-Georgia Tech game, man, and you know, with everything that implies, you know, just bragging rights here in the city, you know, and everything like that. Man, that's going to be tough. So, yeah, everybody's bracing for the worst. You know how they say you're shooting for the win? But you're ready for the loss. You're ready for the loss. But that's kind of where we are right now when it comes to college football.
But here's the one thing that I don't understand, and I don't know that it's hypocritical or it's just illogical. Because I was looking at some of the travel distances last night because I'm a loser. I have no life. So I'm looking at this from a standpoint of, so Missouri and Florida, two teams in the SEC East. Columbia, Missouri, to travel to Gainesville, Florida is 1,010 miles. That is a conference game, long flight from Missouri to go to Florida. That won't happen. Yet, Columbia, South Carolina to Clemson, South Carolina, for South Carolina, Clemson, SEC versus ACC, is only 135 miles, and that will not happen. I don't know if this logically makes sense when some non-conference games you can take a bus to, yet conference games you're on a two-hour flight.
You know what? I think that right now, with the landscape of college football and what could potentially happen, everybody's just trying to, regardless to how much sense it makes, they're just trying to do what makes sense for them in order to just survive. Because you're still talking about a lot of money. You're talking about a lot of money that's going to be missed by these non-conference games from these smaller schools. Just think about, you know, like the Southerns and other schools that came in, the not Power 5 schools that would play these schools and get that big paycheck for that day. They're gonna miss out on that. So it's one of those things where right now they're just trying to figure out the best way that they can keep everybody healthy. Because you know what's funny? I think now somebody's starting to realize, you know, it's a little bit different in basketball than soccer when you start talking about putting people in a bubble and trying to keep everybody safe. It's a whole different animal when you're talking about like 120, 140 kids. Plus your training staff and your coaches and all the other stuff, and trying to keep everybody like that COVID free. It's a little different in college.
Does it feel like, though, that common sense and the safety of individuals is winning the day as it rightfully should over the almighty dollar? Because we know all these leagues professionally and major college sports print money and they generate a ton of revenue. I guess the one positive in this is that they're putting coaches and players and safety ahead of the almighty dollar.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I think that more people are starting to speak up. You know, I think it is. I think more people are starting to be it, like the kids say, woke. Mm-hmm. That's what it is more than anything, because there's still a lot of people out there that feels like this is the, you know, you can compare this to the flu. It's obvious that, you know, it's something totally different when you have so many people concerned about it. When you talk about so much stuff that could happen to you after, it's like if you get it, after you get it, how it could affect your body. I think it's more of that than anything. You talk about Joel Embiid. When he went down to the bubble, he had on a hazmat suit. Mm-hmm. He had on a hazmat suit. So he's been doing his research. So I think it's more of that than anything. I think if, you know, people that, you know, make the deals and everything, they would have went ahead with it if the folks wouldn't have started doing their research.
All right, Super Freaky comes your way coming up at 5:41 this morning. But when we come back on the morning show with John and Hugh, Nick in for John today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, it is time for the audio remix. Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports yesterday joined Mike and Will on Dukes and Bell. You'll hear a condensed version of that, and then myself and Hugh will react to Pat Forty and the big news in college football. It is the morning show with John and Hugh. Nick Kale in for Fricky on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. All right, Atlanta, welcome back in. Happy Friday to everybody out there listening. It's the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Nick Hale in for John Fricke today alongside Hugh Douglas. We will have a super freaky moment, even in John's absence, coming up in about 20 minutes.
This should be good.
Oh, my God. You know, I was getting prepped by Abe and Oren and giving me the rundown of how the show goes, and they explained to me the super freaky thing, and I'm like, all right, I'll come up with something, you know, in the last couple of days in my life. And then lo and behold, yesterday, I go to the grocery store, and I have a super freaky moment. So Okay. Hopefully this is a beautiful time.
I cannot wait to hear it. I cannot wait to hear it.
All right, so we will get to that coming up in just about 20 minutes' time. But right now, time for the audio remix. Pat Forty, great college football writer from Yahoo Sports on Dukes and Bell yesterday with Willie P. and Mike. And obviously the big fallout yesterday, the Big Ten announcing they will not play conference, they will not play non-conference games in 2020 due to COVID-19. And the guys talked to Pat about this and what his initial reactions were to hearing the news for the fall.
I think this is the next step in basically the gradual deconstruction of the season. Maybe the pieces get put back together later, you know, maybe conference only works, but I have a feeling this is kind of also kicking the can down the road towards playing in the spring, if we're playing at all.
So, Pat, you know, again, we're trying to be glass half full, but it just seems like 18 to 20-year-old kids not in a bubble and the vagaries of the virus, is it just a pipe dream now that we're going to have college football in the fall?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I think that the June and the first week of July were very bad for college football. You know, I think in late May, early June, people were optimistic and believing that we could get a season in, maybe even a full season, maybe even have fans in the stands, and now that just looks increasingly unlikely, if not outright impossible. So, you know, we're seeing the steps that are being taken, and perhaps within, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks, I think we're going to see everybody scaling back to some degree as far as what their plans are for college football. And it may, again, I think very well end up that we are trying to play in the spring. And that brings along its own complications, headaches, and difficulties. But I think they will try to play football because everybody wants it and everybody needs it financially. So they'll try. It's just a question of when and how much.
Again, I'm not necessarily asking a question on a fact. I'm just saying as far as the rumblings have been concerned here, because we're wondering, Pat, whether or not a conference-only schedule in these schools will mean only an 8 or 9-game schedule. What are the things you've heard from the various conference commissioners about how they would structure a conference-only season if it does come to that?
Yeah, you know, I think that it would be something where, you know, you start hoping you're going to play what you've usually played, which is 8 or 9. If it's possible to add, because you've got extra weeks in there, yeah, maybe you add another close, you know, regionally proximitous kind of a conference game that wasn't already on the schedule. But I don't think anybody's going to be doing anything in terms of ambition. You know, I mean, like if you are the Big Ten, I don't think you're going to say, well, let's have Nebraska go to Rutgers or anything like that. It's going to be, you know, can we add any other close matchups or not? And it may end up even being less. You know, I think that the main thing that you're looking at here is buying a little extra time to see where things stand, and then B, limiting the scope of your team's travel. Those are going to be the two kind of, I think, benchmarks of this. And so, you know, is it 8? Is it 9? Is it 10? Is it 7? Is it 6? I think all those things are on the table. And if we go to the spring, I've been told it's pretty likely there is no way that people are doing more than 6 to 8, maybe 9 games.
It is Pat Forty with us, guys. I mean, again, biggest thing first, obviously, is finding a vaccine or trying to find some way for our country to move on from this, because it seems like hot spots are popping up. Pat, do you think, though, I mean, just to bring it back to football for purely selfish reasons, you know, the College Football Playoff Committee, I mean, we may have teams. Do you think we're going to have some teams that are playing 9 games, some are playing 10? Do you think the SEC would pivot and go conference only, to Will's point?
Yeah, well, I think that it's likely that the SEC pivots to that or to the spring. You know, I think if anybody would be the most open to playing in the spring, it would probably be the SEC, because they've got almost all warm weather locations. And if you start in February, that's not really that big a problem. It's not like trying to start in February in Minneapolis or Madison, Wisconsin. you know, as far as would there be a uniform number? No, I don't think there's going to be. I think it's going to be whatever games you can play and just kind of get in what you can. And just we'll pick up the pieces from there. I mean, anybody who's expecting anything like a uniform season, a quote-unquote fair playoff process, anything like that, it's a joke. I mean, first of all, I still think it's very unlikely that we're going to have a full season, and especially in the fall. But in the process of creating whatever season they can, it is just going to be trial, error, fit what you can, where you can, and see what happens.
From the concerns that have been shared to you, whether it's from conference commissioners and ADs, what is the biggest concern that they're giving you? Is it responsibility of students, testing, expense? Well, what is the biggest concern that they're telling you?
Yeah, the biggest concern is, you know, that people get seriously ill and that, you know, things run through an entire team and then from one team to another or from one campus to another throughout an entire campus and people end up in the hospital, people end up dying. Young people have been relatively resilient to this, but people with a high body mass index, which would include offensive and defensive linemen, have been more susceptible to it. Older people, which could be coaches and support staff, have certainly been susceptible to it. And you can't contain it. You can't promise you can contain it. You can't guarantee to the families of these players that, yes, we can. Your son will be fine. There's no way you can guarantee that. You can give them a pledge to sign or a waiver or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not going to stand up in a court of law. And I think everybody is very concerned. What happens if we put a guy out there, we say, you know, we bring you back to campus, we put you through workouts, and something bad happens related to this disease?
I think a lot of college football fans feel, well, this school's got a $1 billion endowment. You cannot, it's like a bank you can't keep taking a loan from. They won't do that for athletics.
No. In most places, and probably virtually all universities that have endowments have it specifically earmarked for certain purposes. I mean, people give money to endow, you know, a professor's chair in the music school or the engineering department. And some schools, and including Stanford, they endow football coaching positions too, but they don't have a bunch of money sitting there to say, well, in case we get in trouble in terms of the football, the athletic budget, here's a couple million or 12 million to take care of it. That money doesn't exist for those purposes. And you can't just go and say, yeah, we need that. And especially like if you're Stanford, it's a pretty serious academic institution. So the academic use of that money will absolutely come first, second, and third before athletics even gets a chance at it. So the endowment number is amazing. And it does make you wonder if maybe they should be using more of that money as opposed to just growing it in investments. But
right. The
way these things are written up, it's not accessible.
And that was the audio remix, Pat 40 of Yahoo College Football yesterday. On with Mike and Will on Dukes and Bell. Welcome back in the morning show. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nick Kale in for John. Hugh, you listened to Pat yesterday and you listened to him there in that replay, and he said a couple of things that lead you to believe that college football is thinking about kicking the can towards spring ball and football in the fall is looking like a pipe dream.
You know what's funny, and this is the thing, it's not funny. It's nothing about this is funny. But the one thing that he said that really hit home for me is the health and the safety of these young kids. And he said that, you know, they've shown to be pretty resilient, but, you know, bigger guys, the big dudes, they're the ones that they could potentially get hit the hardest. And that to me says a lot. Yeah. You know, when you talk about these people that are of the mindset, hey, it's just like the flu. No, it ain't just like the flu. It's not. And that to me, that's what really hit home. That's really what hit home for me.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not going to be easy if they cancel things in the fall and they say, hey, we're going to play a 6-to-8-game schedule in the spring, because then you're going to have a quick turnaround the following fall where kids are playing, let's say, in March and April or April and May, and then before you know it, summer camps open up again. And I don't know how 18-to-22-year-olds bounce back physically in a 6-to-10-week window to start up a schedule the following year, presumably a full season.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to digest, man. It's a lot to digest. And we're all assuming that, like, people are treating this like the common cold in the sense that, you know, hey, you got a couple weeks off and everything's going to be fine. That's not the case. Now, you were talking about even in Major League Soccer, where they were talking about when guys test positive, even after they're done the two-week quarantine, you still have to wait. You had to take like 3 or 4 tests before they even let you go again to test negative, before they even let you around other people.
Right.
So this is not a cut and dry situation. This is something that could potentially linger for a little while, longer than you anticipate.
Yeah, and I think when you think about this too, if college football doesn't happen this fall, well, we're only down to the NFL, and that's all we have left. And I read a story a day or two ago that the Baltimore Ravens were saying, you know, we hold 71,000 seats at M&T Bank Stadium, and we're expecting to have no more than 14,000 fans per game, per home game, which is less than 20%. I mean, just listening to Pat Forty, and I know it's maybe apples to oranges, but it's still football and it's still a pandemic. I'm starting to think the NFL is way overly optimistic about not only having a regular season, but having 15,000 to 20,000 fans in the stadium. I don't know that that's going to happen.
Listen, Nick, when NFL said to me, I'm a little bit, not a conspiracy theorist, but I read between the lines, and they said that they looked at every contingency to get this season going. You can't tell me that they didn't look at that one too. Just like all of a sudden they hit the cats with the escrow, they looked at all that before they got to this point. They looked at all that. But now since we're here, now they're starting to roll stuff out. They probably knew a while ago that there's a great possibility that they weren't going to have any people in the stands. But they still rolled it out anyway because they were trying to be optimistic and they were hoping that things would change before we got to this point. Now we're almost at that point. And it doesn't look like it's going to change.
No, you're spot on. And one of the common themes I think most of us agreed on was, you know, when this whole thing started back in mid-March in the NBA, we said football's got the advantage of time. They've got the benefit of time on their side. Well, time is ticking. It's July 10th. We're getting close to football, and it's not looking that good.
Not at all.
All right, it's the morning show. John and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nick in for John today. We'll come back a little super freaky action here on a Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.